Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
It's now time for a very hellish edition of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service and tell you which games to pass on to your friends and which games to simply pass on by. I am your host, Corey. Joining me over the interwebs, as always, is Basher.
Am I ever going to join you in studio on site?
Realistically, no. But hey, you never know. Maybe one of us will get rich. Maybe this podcast will make it happen. Maybe Microsoft will sponsor it and we'll make it big.
I doubt that. Most of the games you pass on.
Ouch. You know, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Let's see. One.
You don't have the best track record.
Let's say is the Outer Worlds their game?
No.
Technically? No. They own Obsidian now.
Now they do. I mean, that's like saying Metal Gear is a Sony friend, a Sony game.
No,
like,
that's different. They don't own Kojima.
They don't.
No, they don't. That game came out on Xbox.
Yeah, but it's Kojima. They pretty close knit.
Anyways, we're not here to talk about Kojima.
Death Stranding. Here we go. Worlds.
We are here to talk about Doom, or as it's commonly known as Doom 2016. This was developed by id Software, makers of Doom, as well as some of your favorite franchises, such as Rage. That's a lie. That's no one's favorite franchise.
Thank you for clearing that up. I'm like, whose favorite is Rage?
Yeah, but you might have heard something called Quake, if you're a 90s gamer. Quake was kind of a big deal at one point. But, you know, I would say after, you know, Doom 3, there was a lull there for id for a very long time of nothing really, you know, big and new coming out. And then they dropped Doom in 2016. That's what we're going to be talking about today. All right. So to go over the logistics of this game, this game's normal price is $19.99. It is available on PC, Xbox, PS4. And I forgot about this. It's also on Nintendo Switch, believe it or not. That version is not the version I would suggest, but it is still 100% playable. This is available only on Xbox Game Pass for a console, meaning there is no Xbox Play Anywhere support or cross-play as well. This game did feature a multiplayer mode, but we're not going to be talking about that. But so when it comes to DLC,
we're talking about that.
I can speak to it because I played it quite a bit when it first came out. It is not as harsh as people want you to think it is, but it is very forgettable. And it's not bad. It's not amazing though either, but they eventually released all of the DLC for free. So there is DLC for this game, but it is all free, including the arcade mode for the campaign as well, and all of the snap map stuff. So again, we're only going to really talk about the campaign on that. But snap map was a cool thing, but I don't think it ever really, there's some really neat stuff that you can fall into in snap map, but it's few and far between kind of thing. Good idea, but I think it's just sort of limited in its scope. So, yeah, this game is Xbox One X enhanced for all of you X owners out there. I am one of them. Runs at a dynamic frame rate between 1800p and 4K. along with that silky smooth 60 frames per second. It's actually one of the better looking Xbox One X games, I have to say, especially with that higher frame rate. So they did a very good job of cleaning this one up on the X. It took them a while to get there. I remember it took them about 6 months after the X came out to finally put that out. But they did, and it it was definitely worth it. So, but we are talking about Doom because Doom is awesome. And Doom Eternal will be hitting in about a month now, where I think we're like, what, 31 days away from it? And I think it's fair to say that I'm a Doom fan. So we kind of just wanted to, we're cheating a little bit. We're playing a game we knew we would like, but I thought it would be interesting for us to go back to it because we were very high in this game in 2016. So it's interesting to sort of look back before Doom Eternal hits here in just about a month. So let's talk about Doom 2016.
All right. Doom is well one of the earlier shooters I've played. Actually, I think I want to say the first shooter I really played was Quake, to be honest with you. And then it was like Duke Nukem, and then I kind of went backwards to get to Doom. Never, and I think it's just because of the order in which I played it. I just never really fell in love with it. I always respected it, appreciated it, but never fell in love with it. Fast forward to I believe it was Doom 3, with the infamous you can't hold a gun and a flashlight at the same time.
It's true. You can now in the BFG edition, but
that's very nice to hear, because when we first played through it cooperatively, it was just a running joke we had, and even that game wasn't bad, you know.
But it's different. Different. And as I am making a video, I'm reviewing every Doom campaign before Doom Eternal, and I have to say, like, Doom 3 still holds up in some regards, but that is such a different game that it's kind of baffling at times, but it's still a good game. But yeah
exactly. So I'm like, so my history with Doom has kind of been like a very respectable franchise, and it never really captured my heart, my soul, but I always respected it. And then Doom 2016 comes around and just blows your knees off. Like, it is a hell of a game, let's say. Like, it's some of the best just straight up gunplay you can find on the market, I feel.
Yeah, and I not to throw you off real quick, but like I have a different, you know, upbringing of Doom, and Doom was actually like one of the first games I ever played. I was very, very young, but I was fortunate enough that my father worked in computers and stuff, so we had a machine that could not only run Doom, but I was that person that was connecting to other players, not even realizing it was a thing, kind of thing. I think we talked about it briefly, but I used to play Quake against my dad when I was like 6 and 7, and I didn't even know other people could talk to other people on the internet at that time. But so I was fortunate enough that I was on the cutting edge of that. Like, I played Unreal Tournament when it first hit, you know, that. So my affinity for Doom is very, very high. I always really enjoyed it, and I could talk forever about just the dumb things I did in it. But I was always a fan of the original Doom. I've never been a massive fan of Doom 2 or even Final Doom. I was always a fan of the original Doom, and then I really liked Doom 64, and then I was super hyped for Doom 3, and I got that game on launch and watched my computer melt in front of my eyes as it tried to keep up. And so I'm one of those people that was in the console of Doom 3 doing everything I can to get from 28 frames to 30 frames just so the game would run smoothly. And then I eventually bought a new graphics card to play Doom 3. So it's fair to say that when Doom 3 came out, I played a lot of that game.
I think the hardest thing for a game to do, and especially a game, especially a series, is a story that is Doom, is revitalize itself and or make a sequel to a previous installment and still keep the heart and soul of that game. So many game franchises have tried to create sequels and change itself, and it turns out it's not what the fans wanted. It loses a piece of its soul. It's just not quite the same. Whereas if you were a fan of Doom, like the old Doom, like the original Doom, and then play 2016, it's like, oh, this is exactly what this should be in 3D. It's like the Mario 3D, like Mario 64. It's like, this is exactly what it should be.
And honestly, I think you can make the argument that it actually even did it better than Mario 64 did. Like, you know, the lead up to Doom 2016 was there was two camps. There was people that thought the glory kills were stupid and this game didn't look like Doom. And then there was people like me that were more of just, you know, wait and see kind of approach. So, yeah, I guess I'm trying to think where to start kind of thing. So, like you said, leading up to this game, everyone was wondering, like, how doom is this game going to be? Like, how is this going to bring the franchise forward but also not forget it? And I think it's, after playing this game again 4 years after the fact, I think it's fair to say that it does it in a way that is ingenious, but it never forgets what it is while also being new, which is, I'm not quite sure how they did that. Like, that requires I don't know if it was dev time. I don't know if it was the right people doing the right job. Maybe it's both. But the fact that they're able to sort of capture that essence of Doom in a modern era and bring it forward, it still, like, honestly just blows my mind.
No,
that
absolutely.
They were able to do it. Yeah.
It's sort of... I mean, like, trust me, like, I mean, as a Sonic fan, by the way, the best video game movie of all time, you can see firsthand how these companies keep trying over and over and over to recapture that, as you call it, that essence of the game. And it's like, it just sometimes, and most of the time, just never hits right, just never feels right. Whereas, like, id and Doom 2016, they just got it. Like, it's like they went back to the pot and said, like, what makes Doom Doom, and just focus on that and that alone, because the game itself is I would say I don't want to say it's simple or bare bones, but it's very blunt, it's very to the point. It doesn't try to do anything that any other shooter does. It just says, what did Doom do so great, and let's focus on that and that alone.
And from a design perspective, it reminds me a lot of Mega Man X and the original Mario. And it's kind of those things where it's like, in the first 30 seconds, you know what's up. Like, the game teaches you in the first 30 seconds whether or not you're on board or not. You know, in Mario, it's running and you hit the question block, you get the mushroom, and you get on the Goomba and you're jumping over stuff. You know, in Mega Man, it's the same thing. You're shooting stuff, you're doing a charge shot, you're jumping up walls. In Doom, literally in the first 15 seconds, you get a glory kill, you get a pistol, and you glory kill a couple things and move forward. Like, it teaches you how to play in the first 10 minutes the entire game. And through the entire game, you're sort of building upon that arsenal that you have, whether it's glory kills, whether it's movement, whether it's guns, whether it's new demons, whether it's runes, whatever it is. It's constantly teaching you how to play the game. And I think that might be the secret sauce here, in just terms of it either clicks with you right away or it doesn't. And if it doesn't click with you, it's not that the game is bad, it's just not what you're looking for maybe at the time, kind of thing. But then when you have people like me that are, you know, when you ask the question of what makes Doom Doom, you know, I go back and I think it's the aesthetics of the designs of the enemies and the combat, along with secrets and complex levels. And that's sort of what Doom is. And while Doom 2016, I think, nails most of that, I think some of the level design isn't quite as good as some of those original games, but it brings all those things forward. Like, there's multi-layers to every level. There's secrets in every level. There's different combat scenarios, you know, from the first time you see the imp to the, you know, to you get to the pinky halfway through the game. Like, the game is constantly throwing new stuff at you that's sort of pushing you forward in the combat arena. Whereas that's what the original Doom did as well. You know, it starts you in a very simple level, and then it just keeps sort of building upon that, whether it's new demons, new ways to traverse, whether it's different looking doors, whether it's different keys. You know, they're always introducing something new until the final sort of act of the game, to where it's like, okay, take everything that you've learned and apply it now. And that's where I just think that the core design of it, and even though the glory kills are probably the biggest, I don't want to say change, but because it's not a change because it's new. So I don't know what you want to call it. Like the biggest modern innovation or whatever you want to call it. That sort of changes the flow of combat, whereas the original Doom was more about not getting hit and surviving, whereas this one is more about you're going to take a hit, but instead of running around and looking for ammo, we're going to teach you how to be a force that pushes forward and not always on the defense, which is very strange, I think, for video games, because when you have stuff like Call of Duty that's always trying to make you feel like a badass, is that a curse word? I don't, I'm a market anyway. it's always trying to make you feel unbeatable. You know, like you always want to feel like a super soldier. Doom is like one of the very few games that I feel like with the glory kills actually achieves it. And I think it's a great addition, and it's ingenious in many ways, in my opinion, at least.
No, I agree. I think of another game I played last year that I think more people should actually play, which is The Surge 2. Coincidentally enough, it's in the sense that like one of my favorite changes to that, not changes, but again, maybe additions to the genre was the idea of pushing forward and not saying and not constantly holding back, constantly hiding, constantly kind of counting your bullets, counting your ammo, counting your health points. It's kind of like instead it just pushes you towards action at every point in time. This game, Doom 2016 shines when it's just saying balls to the wall, go at it. Like, we don't care how you do it, we don't care which way you get it done. We're just going to throw demons on the screen. However you get rid of them is however you want to get rid of them. We're going to give you all the ammo, all the armor, all the whatever you need, and then just have at it. It's one of those games where, like, the industry, like, years ago used to say, play how you want. And it's like, that's really not the case. You just...
Right.
I don't feel that way at all. Whereas Doom 2016 is really like, no, you can really play this game how you want. I think best things I can say about the game is that the replayability of it is so high because of that, because you're never going to enter the same gunfight twice in the same way each time. It's never going to happen. You're always going to do something different. You're always going to end up in a different place. You're always going to handle the problem differently. And I got to give credit for that.
Yeah, it really can't be under... is that underestimated? Is not the word, but like it can't be said enough that the flow of combat in this game is unmatched, I think, in this genre. There's nothing that makes you quite feel the way you do in Doom, and that's like when I've probably played through this game probably 4 to 5 times now. You know, I played it on Ultraviolet and Nightmare the first time through, and then I think in like 2018 I did like an Ultraviolet run, and then it's some similar year later. So like it became like a yearly thing for me. Like I'd play about once a year, but I hadn't touched it in 2019 kind of thing. And so picking it up again, I was like, all right, like I know what I'm gonna get myself into. And then by like the third level, I'm just like, oh shit. Like I just want to keep playing this. Oh, damn it. I'm just like, oh man, like this is good. Like this is really good, and I should be spending my time playing other things, but it's just so smooth and so much fun to play the game. I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to keep playing this.
Oh,
like,
no, you fall into that gameplay loop that you just kind of have to drag yourself out of, right? Really. I think I told you earlier that I kind of forgot we were doing a show on this because I was just playing it for fun at some point. That said, though, like, my biggest issue with the game, I will go as far as to say it's really my only issue with the game, is probably the level design, because because when this game gives you a group full of demons in this kind of enclosed area, it's firing on all cylinders. It's just a perfect display of just Doom madness, like. But once you kill all the demons, once that gate opens up, you have to proceed to the level and find all the skulls to open up the next door. that's when you're just running around in circles like, crap, where was I? What do I have to do? What am I looking for? Like, was I here already? Like, this, the level design isn't as fluid as the gameplay is sometimes. And I get why they want you to do some more exploration. They want you to go around, look at every nook and cranny, but it doesn't lend itself to that most of the time. Like, it's just looking for that one thing in this level to open up the locked door. It's jarring because it takes you out of that very tight, focused gameplay loop to a let's go looking for the MacGuffin and I'm bored because there's nothing to shoot.
Yeah, and I think where that some levels are set up better than others, and Doom is 2016 is really about choice. Like, you can just keep pushing forward and never go back and look for secrets and never look for the bobbleheads, you know, and all that stuff. Like, if you just want to keep pushing forward, they'll let you. But where I think that it differs in that, you know, we haven't really broken down like sort of some of the more minute details, but like, so, you know, when you need health and ammo, you basically perform a glory kill. And so it takes out a lot of the exploration that you took from the original Doom. In the classic Doom games, like if you needed ammo and you had to go find it, you know, it was about ammo, being conservative with it. And sometimes, especially in later Doom games or later levels in Doom, you miss a couple shots. Like, that could be the difference between life or death kind of thing. If you don't know where the extra ammo is, if you don't know where the secrets are, et cetera. Whereas Doom, since the health and ammo aspect is sort of removed, it makes it a little more difficult to create that flow that you talked about. What I will say, though, is that for the most part, the map screen is extremely useful, and that's pretty rare in video games where a map actually like is sort of critical in your success of if you want to 100% a level. It's very good at giving you a lot of information, but not too much information. And that's something that I super appreciate as someone who still plays the original Doom games from time to time. And every once in a while, I find a secret that I didn't even know existed. And it's always in a way that is just completely just no one would know this is here kind of thing. It's like a Dark Souls level of cryptic sometimes. It's like you've got to go and press the space bar on this wall. It's like, how would anyone know that? Like, no one would know that. Whereas Doom 2016 brings that forward and sort of gives you hints to where the secrets are. And I think that's extremely smart. But to sort of bring it back to your level comment, I will agree that I don't think the level design is the best part of the game in certain spots. And I think the middle portion of the game is probably the worst in terms of that backtracking and that sort of wandering around aimlessly. There's a couple levels like Argent Facility is kind of, you basically play this level twice. You play it once and you play it backwards in quote destroyed, so it's not quite the same level, but it's a lot of the same assets and things are sort of in different spots, etc., but you kind of go to new places. But that's where you can definitely just get lost just running around because there's all these different places you can go, and it doesn't flow, like you said, in the same way as the combat does. But then like you've got the levels where you go to hell, and those levels for whatever reason just flow so much better. And I don't know if it's because that there's just less areas to go in and it sort of is pushing you from A to B instead of kind of pushing you from A, B, C, D. I don't know if that's the key to it.
It should almost like there were just points in time I just really felt like this should be more linear. Because right. And then I feel like and it's hard to say that now because we're linear in video games now, where it's just like a bad word. You don't want your game to be linear or anything but that. But like some linearity in your game is not bad at all. Like especially right. In a game like Doom where it hinges on the action. Like because the whole point of this game is to move from one point of the action to the next point of the action. Like as much as they want you to explore, there's just not enough reason to. I don't think, like, for me as a non-Doom, fan, as a guy who just likes shooting things, I really don't need to this wide area to go looking for little dolls. Like, I'm cool with that. Just give me demons to shoot and I'm fine. So give me an option to just kind of choose a linear path if I wanted to.
And I think they were smart in implementing the secrets, because they actually do give you reasons for the secrets other than just finding them. You know, they have what they call the I can't remember what it's called now, but they have a efficiency system, whatever you want to call it. So if you find everything, you get more things. You get more weapon upgrade points. You get more Praetor suit tokens and stuff like that to upgrade the Praetor suit and upgrade your weapons, etc. So they're smart in that the secrets aren't just there for the sake of because they've removed that ammo and health aspect. They had to sort of redesign it in a way, and I think they did it well. I was going to say something, but I lost my train of thought.
Well done.
I lost it hard.
Professional podcaster.
Yeah, and it was 15 years. It was a good, really good point too.
It felt good. I was ready for it.
Now it's gone.
Nice little ramp up.
What were we talking about?
No, like, I mean, like, when the game asked me, like, I feel like I've said this before. I may say it too much. But when a game asks me to do something other than what it's really good at, I start just kind of, I start losing it a bit, like getting frustrated. I'm just like, just do the thing that I want you to do, and that's it. Because there's one level where it's just a lot of jumping. It's like this is a good jumping platform. Like
broken bridges and stuff like that.
So much jumping. I'm just like, Guys, I didn't come here to play Mario. Like, just get me to the next part so I can start shooting more things. And again, I'm not saying that because the exploration is terrible. I'm not saying that because the jumping is bad, because the jumping is actually really nice and it's fluid. It's just a matter of the shooty pew pew parts are so good. That's all I want to get to. So let me get to that quickly as possible.
I mean, I agree, but I also don't. I think that, like, if you told me when it comes to Doom Eternal, like, what do they need to do better? I struggle to say that the combat needs to be better because it's very good, but I can see how it can be adapted and I can see how it can be improved upon in terms of adding certain elements. And, you know, everything we've seen of Doom Eternal is exactly doing that. But the other thing that they're focusing on, too, is sort of making sure that the level design is not only different per level, but it flows more naturally, you know? And I remember what I was going to say now. And so, like, the best way I can describe that some of the weaker levels in Doom is that, you know, I have played so many Doom levels when it comes to like community levels and stuff like that. Like, the best Doom levels are not the biggest levels. And that's something that I feel like that Doom 2016 sometimes forgets, is that sometimes a medium-sized level that flows better, that has better puzzles, is much better than a giant level that is making me run back and forth kind of thing. And that's where at most two of the levels of Doom sort of forget that rule. And the best levels in Doom and Doom 2016 are the levels that are contained and have a good flow and a good puzzle in it. You know, it doesn't always have to be from point A to point B, like you said, but with the jumping and stuff like that, like, as long as it feels good and I'm not doing it, I don't feel like I'm doing something out of order, or I feel like I'm just like, this is the jumping part of the game, you know,
that's exactly what I mean. Cause it was exactly that, where it's like, cause when you're playing it and when you're in that action scene and that. We forgot to talk about the music altogether. The music is phenomenal.
Oh, the music is...
It's absurdly phenomenal. And the battle music...
Mick Gordon is a god. Like,
the battle music is just so good. So when it's pumping in your headphones, your speakers, you're into it, it's like... And then it starts to die down. And then it's like, all right, jump. It's like 10 minutes later, it's like, why am I still jumping? Like, yeah, I just, yeah. I guess, like, where's the reason I came here for?
Yeah, and I don't want it to sound like, you know, that we're saying this is like a Achilles heel of this game. It is not.
It's
it
really
is nothing
not.
Like that. No, yeah, it's
noticeable.
Right, it's like when you're eating the best pizza and the crust is a little soft. Like, it's like you're still going to destroy this pizza because it's pizza and it's amazing, but I wish it was a little more done, you know, kind of thing. But no, like, yes, I think the map design is the one area that they can definitely improve, but everything else about this game is just, I hate this term because it's thrown around, but like, this is a game of the generation quality title, in my opinion. Like,
it should have been, but it just didn't catch that shooters. The shooter fan has changed is the problem.
Like, it got caught up in this. The multiplayer sunk this game, because we live in an era of, when it comes to technology, we like to look at stuff at what it doesn't do instead of what it does do. So the best thing I can say is, like, when it comes to technology, especially like the phone market is one, like, whenever you look at a phone review or you look at any type of technology review, the first thing they always talk about is like, well, it doesn't have this. Instead of focusing on the stuff that it does have, it's always looking at the drawbacks of whatever it is. And Doom had this narration of, it's like, it's got a great single player campaign, one of the best. And that was the word around the internet, was that this is one of the best campaigns ever made, but it's got this multiplayer that's not that great. And so that became sort of the narrative of it, of saying like, it's really, really good, but if you want multiplayer, this isn't it. And so I think that was just such a disservice to this game, because there was very few people that were just like, you could 100% just be like, look, the multiplayer isn't great, but you don't need that. Like, if that didn't exist in this game, you wouldn't care, kind of thing. And that says a lot to the multiplayer, in terms of like, if this game didn't have multiplayer, you wouldn't even notice. Like, you wouldn't notice. I think that's a bit harsh, but it's the truth as well, kind of thing. So that's why I think this game got hurt the most in terms of that, was because of just the way that the internet looks at things sometimes.
I mean, it's you're not wrong, and I'll add to that again. I think it's just the way shooter fans are nowadays, because even if it didn't have the multiplayer, it was just this awesome single player, I think it would still suffer the not the scrutiny, but it would still get overlooked as a game of the generation, because if your shooter doesn't have this Call of Duty like multiplayer or a BioShock type story and it's just gameplay, they're like, a lot of shooting fans nowadays are just going like, well, what?
Yeah, I don't care.
I mean, more than that, it's like, when realistically, you don't. Like, Doom, like, the reason Doom and Quake and the Unreal tournaments, like, the reason these games took off is because it's really just amazing gameplay. Right. And that's what this is. It just gave you amazing gameplay. So, like, this Doom should have been one of those games, like a BioShock, where people started going, I want to make another one of those.
Yeah,
like that's the bar I want to make when I have for my shooter. But instead, it got overlooked for a number of reasons, including the ones you mentioned.
Yeah, and it's, I have to say that the this game secretly has one of the best stories, but the fact that they don't throw it in your face is, it's both a blessing and a curse, kind of thing, because I hesitate to say like spoilers, because by now, if you don't realize this, but like, the lore in this game basically paints the Doomslayer as a god. Like, and as you start going through this game and you start going to hell, you like, they sort of start making fun of itself, and they start making fun of games in general, because it's always that you are going to fight the thing that, and you need to be afraid of it because of X, you know, like that's most video games. It's like you have to conquer evil because it's bad and it's stronger than you. But they start painting it in the opposite way of that. It's like the reason the music starts when you show up is because you are the boss fight. Like instead of it being, oh shoot, the music's starting, that means something bad's about to happen. It means like I'm about to do something bad to these demons. Like, and it really plays into that notion of just like you are a badass and the demons are locked in here with you. You are not locked in here with them. And it really, really pushes that narrative in a lot of the audio logs and a lot of the codex, but you have to find that stuff. It's buried in there. And they do that specifically because of, like you said, it's like, I just want to shoot stuff kind of thing. And so that's one of those things, like, I wish I could just be, I could just like force somebody to like look at the genius here. And I understand that you don't quite get it because that's not what you're here for, but I wish you could see it kind of thing, because it's so good. And it's just, it's so self-aware in the fact that it reminds me a lot of The Messenger in that it's become self-aware, but it does it in a way that it's very, very easy to overdo it or underdo it. And like The Messenger, it just nails it from point A to B all the way to Z. And it's just like, there's so much cool lore in here and just cool things about the Doomslayer that are so easily missed. And I love it. And it's also frustrating kind of thing. But it really is, the demons are stuck in here with you. Like, that's the way they paint the picture. And even though you're playing the game and you sort of realize it, like, it doesn't ever actually kind of click, because that's all video games. Like, all video games is whatever. I'm rambling at this point, but the story is secretly one of the best parts of this game. And I enjoy just going and reading the codex and listening to the audio logs of this demon god sort of talking about the demon, the Doomslayer, of just like we need to be scared of this guy. And he is the reason that hell can't rise, is because this one dude is just like, no, like I'm here to stop and kill you. And that is my job. And it's also a game of the way when you have Samuel Hayden and he talks about the Argent energy cores, and he's just like, all right, be careful with that thing. Like,
yeah, like that part.
I you know, like this is extremely, extremely valuable energy. And Doom Guy's just like, no. And he just literally shoves his fist through it. And it's just like, okay, we're done here. And it's just like, yes, like I get it. Like this guy, he doesn't care what you have to say, because he's stronger than you. He's better than you. And he's got one job, and that's to kill the demons. That is his sole purpose in life, is to kill the demons. I'm done talking now.
Okay. I agree with all of that. I mean, there's not enough good things you could say about this game. I loved it when it first came out. I played through it halfway again a while ago, and then just recently for this podcast went through it again, and each time it's like each time it honestly feels like a brand new experience. It's like, all right, here we go. Like, how am I gonna do it this time? How am I gonna go to hell and just blow everything up? It really does amp me up for the one coming out here in March.
Oh man, right? It looks so good. Yeah, March 20th. That's our date. And like, I have to say that it's hard to sort of talk about, because like you said, and how am I going to do it this time? And I think Doom 2016, you can fall into a hole of using the same two weapons. And while I don't think that's a negative, I think you could point to that as a flaw of the game. Because I'm just kind of curious, like
player, like that's, I thought that was,
yeah, player. It could be, but I mean, cause I'm not a huge fan of the plasma rifle in this game. The plasma rifle became my, against the shielded dudes. I use the stun.
The plasma rifle is the one that shoots the orbs, or the beam rifle?
Are you talking about the Gauss?
Yeah.
The Gauss is the best gun in the game. I don't care what
anyone says. Yeah, the
like Gauss, that gun.
But I like the when leveled up, that plasma rifle is secondary. the Shockwave. I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan.
That's one of those things to where I every time I play this game, because I've gotten used to not using it, like, you're right, the Shockwave is secretly one of the better defense mechanisms in the game. Because you will get swarmed.
I mean, compared to everything else, the primary weapon's kind of weak. But that's secondary, though. Like, one blast of that, and like, all right, got some breathing room.
Yeah, I think that's a testament to say of just like how you said, like you can sort of approach it any way you want. But I'm 100% a criticism I see about this game a lot is that, well, the super shotgun is just it's OP, and it is, like, once you unlock the dual firing with it, that thing just lays waste.
Well, I mean, it's supposed to be. I mean, like, it reminds me of a game that came back a while ago. I still think it's kind of underrated. Bulletstorm.
Oh, I love Bulletstorm. Bulletstorm is so good.
I think it's extremely underrated because people play it. Like, I remember moving kind of. Now I'm rambling on this podcast. A while ago, my other podcast, my co-host Snaps said he didn't like it because it became doing the same thing over and over again, and that's from, like, this is a fault on you. Like, you can do just about anything you want right now, and you're just choosing to do the same thing. Like, you're choosing to use the same shotgun in Doom 2016. You're choosing to use the same Gauss rifle. You can take down these demons however you like. If you get bored of doing it one way, switch up your weapon combo just for fun. Like, don't worry about your favorite weapon. Just pick any two weapons and see how you handle
it. And what I always found that criticism with Bulletstorm very strange because, you know, the tagline of that game was kill with skill. And the whole point of that game was to do things stylishly.
Right.
And, you know, it'd be like playing a Tony Hawk game and just grinding the whole time, you know, like, and it's just like, that's not the goal. But with Doom, I think it's a much, I don't want to say more fair, but it's a fair criticism because the goal of the game is to get to the end. You know, like, that's the goal. So I think the argument kind of goes both ways. I think it's strong in both ways, but I have more fun with Doom when I'm switching things up. You know, like, the Gauss cannon is by far my favorite weapon because I'm the best with it. I shouldn't say I'm the best. Like, I'm the best at this game with... No, that's still not right. I'm not better than anyone else, but personally, I'm at my best when I'm using the Gauss cannon, and I don't use the super shotgun a lot because I find it kind of boring. Because I actually like the regular shotgun more with the grenade attachment, because I got, you know, if you get good enough with that grenade, you can straight up like snipe people with it. And I just love switching between that, the assault rifle and the Gauss cannon. And just, that was my go-to. I loved that loop over and over. And by still one of my favorite things with the Gauss cannon is if you shoot that thing in the air, it's so powerful that it blows you back. Like that little detail is in all of the weapons, of just all of the, you know, these little minute details that just make you each weapon feel very unique. And what they're doing with Doom Eternal is they're sort of playing into that more and having certain enemies have weak spots and they're weak to certain ailments of these weapons. Like the Caco Demon is weak to the grenade, the shotgun grenade, and you can fire a grenade into the mouth of the Caco Demon. So like each demon is now going to sort of have a puzzle element to it that's going to sort of force you to use the different weapons, which I think is smart to sort of force people to mix it up. And those are the kind of things I'm looking forward to in the sequel, of just like this rock, paper, scissors sort of gameplay, in that, you know, if you need health, you do a glory kill. If you need ammo, you use the chainsaw. And if you need armor, you use the flamethrower. And so it's going to even just sort of push more into that gameplay element and make that loop even more sort of, because the loop of Doom 2016 is easy to pick up. It's not impossible to master. It's not hard to master, but it does take some work to master. But it feels like and looks like Doom Eternal is going to be a game that, like, if you want to master this system, you are going to be always on the move, you're going to be always switching weapons, and you're always going to sort of have your eyes on your ammo count and your health count and your shield count, and just sort of that loop of keeping everything sort of stocked is going to be much better the next time around. And that's definitely what I'm looking forward to the most, is just seeing how they sort of play on that loop now that they've sort of they've proven that it works, and now it's time for them to sort of refine on it. And that's, I honestly can't wait. Like, that's just, I've gone immediate blackout for this game because, like, all the glory kills and stuff are out there now, and I'm like, no, I want to experience it for the first time by myself. I don't want to see someone else playing. I want to experience it and feel what it's like to do a new glory kill now that he has a freaking meat hook on his arm.
All right, you can play that. I'll be playing Animal Crossing.
You know, I do have to say, if there was any two games that are different, more different, it's these two. And
did this happen last year? Didn't it release alongside something else that was also completely the opposite, I feel like? But yeah, like, yeah. I want to play them both, so that's going to be fun.
I want to play them both, but Animal Crossing, I'm
the superior game. I agree.
Yeah, sure, totally. We'll see. Animal Crossing for me is always a shot in the dark, whether or not it's gonna hit with me or not. But no, there's no doubt on this show for Game Pass or Pass, you need to play this game. I can't think of any reason not to play this game, like legitimately, like even trying it, because it's good that, like, you will know by
the multiplayer sucks, so I'll skip it.
Oh yeah, I hate you so much. Before the title card of this game, you will know whether or not you're in or not, and that takes maybe 5 minutes to get to. You know,
ten. Every single game should be. I'm so sick. We'll talk about this in a later episode. I'm very sick of the, hold on, it's not chapter 6 yet. Hold on, it's not hour 14 yet. Hold on,
the game gets good at hour 20.
Like, I'm so tired of, like, I have things to do in life other than play your video game. But
right. And it's that,
yeah. Oh, but God. That said, wrapping so this bad boy up,
it's so good. The game is so good. He cocks the shotgun to the beat of the music in the intro. Does anyone else notice that? Because it's incredible. Like, that little detail is amazing. And
Yoku's,
like,
Island still has the best title screen pop up for me.
Which one?
Yoku's Island.
Ooh, that's pretty good. Top five best title cards in games. Yeah. Doom and Yoku's Island Express are up there.
Like, is there a list for this? I need to figure this out.
If not, I'm making it. But no,
I think Sonic has it going too. So I think Sonic 3.
Sonic
and Knuckles. Like
Sonic and Knuckles has one. Yeah,
it has a late one. I like.
The game is so good. Like, it's so good, and it truly is a testament to, like, if you want to bring back a game, this is how you do it. Like, you've got to give it the time, you've got to give it the effort, and you got to get it the right team. Because, not to get into the history of this game, but there was a different Doom game that they were working on for.
I remember that. For about
3 to 4. There's a video out there now of it, Danny O'Dwyer did a no clip on Doom and showed some video. And no, it looked stupid. Like, it did not look like a Doom game. And the fact that Bethesda gave them the okay to say, you know what, you want to cancel this, go for it, like, start over. And they had been working on that for years. That's how you have to do it. You have to give it the time and the respect to do it right. And not many companies get that. And when they do try it, you know, it usually fails. So for them to bring back something like Doom in a way that, as a fan of this game, like, when it comes to ranking these games, I'm having a really hard time. And I'm not going to give it away, but what I will say is Doom 2016 is much higher than I ever expected it to be. And replaying all these games back to back, it's very, very cool to see them nail this and do it right. And I'm super, super excited about Doom Eternal. So maybe Doom Eternal will be game of the generation. We get a second shot. So, because it's technically this generation. I don't care what anyone says.
Maybe.
We'll see. But all right, I think that's going to do it. We did a spin off the air. I'm sorry. I know you people love the spin segment. I guess we could do a fake one. Here we go. All right, here we go.
All right, here we go. I have no idea what's going to happen right now.
All right, pulling up the Xbox app. What will you play next? I'm going to hit that surprise me button, and that'd be hilarious if it actually came up with the right one. I'm going to give it three spins and see if it comes with the right one. That's one, two, and three. Darn, no. We are going to be playing A Plague's Tale. Hold for applause.
Yep. That's what we're playing.
That is what we spun last time. It's A Plague's Tale Innocence. I think it's fair to say that we both knew what this game was, but neither of us really knew what we were getting into, kind of thing. But we will have a lot to say about that game on the next episode. But before we go, please rate us on your podcast app of choice, whether it's Spotify, whether it's Apple Podcasts, whether it's Google Podcasts, whatever podcast service you are listening to us on, give us a rate. Helps us out. Appreciate it. You can email us at gpopfans@gmail.com. If you want to talk about Doom, if you want to talk about any other games, if you've discovered any games because of Game Pass, you want us to play a certain game because you really like it, we haven't played it yet, let us know and we will work it into the schedule as long as if we like you. If we don't like you, we're not going to.
Don't email from Spotify.
Can you email from Spotify? I find it amazing that people use Spotify for podcasts. I'm not going to get over that because
they're wrong.
It seems crazy to me. But all right, that's going to do it for this episode. We will see you next time with A Plague's Tale Innocence.
Let's all watch Sonic and get over the 100 million mark.
I'll see it again.